Hi, we're talking with Eric Heil, co-founder and CEO of RightCare out of Horsham, Pennsylvania. Did I pronounce that right?
You did. Yes, okay, very nice. Great. Right outside of Philadelphia.
Well, thank you for joining us here at the Innovation Summit. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is RightCare does?
Yeah, Rod, thank you very much. So RightCare is a medical technology company that is focused on reducing readmissions for the hospitals and health systems we serve and improving the care transitions process for the patients that they serve. We do that by risk assessing all patients at admission using a very predictive proprietary model coming out of the School of Nursing at the University of Pennsylvania, where a decade of academic work and roughly $5 million of NIH-funded studies went into the development of this tool set to identify the root causes of readmissions and individual patient needs. And then we're able to identify what level of post-acute care best matches an individual patient and their risk factors and needs. Is it home health, skilled nursing facility, rehab? And then through our Post-Care Connect module, we're able to connect and start that referral process to the selected post-acute care agency of choice much sooner in the process by starting that referral at admission, day one of the hospitalization.
So what kind of information do you need at admission from the patient in order to make this kind of an assessment? Or do you rely only on information that you've already got in the electronic health record?
Yeah, the aha, so to speak, in Dr. Kathy Bowles' research was that the reasons why patients are readmitted is not found in the EMR. It's not a medical diagnosis, and we've actually heard through a number of the speakers here at the conference just that it's not a medical, it's more of a psychosocial, community-based, environmental factor, root causes of why patients are readmitted. It's, you know, those areas where patients are being sent home back to and coming from. So that's what RightCare is helping bring to the equation that is otherwise not part of the assessment decision support process for case managers. So bringing those risk factors that, you know, resource needs, caregiver availability, psychosocial depression, you know, factors that ultimately are the reasons why they end up back in the ED or as a readmission.
Can you give us an example of, for example, two different types of post-acute care that, you know, two different patients might get that on the surface they might seem very similar to be in very similar situations but have very different prescribed post-acute care scenarios?
Yeah, one example is actually my grandfather-in-law, who is 89 years old, recently admitted to the hospital for pneumonia. And upon discharge, they were ready and planning to send him to home care. So he'd be sent home with his wife, you know, my grandmother-in-law, who is also 89 years old and had a double hip replacement 2 weeks ago. And so the home environment where limited caregiver availability, limited access and mobility was a big challenge for him, was not the right place, is not the right setting. So what ended up being prescribed for him was a short stay in a skilled nursing facility rehab to make sure that his strength and mobility was able to get strong enough before he was sent home. And ultimately, you know, my grandmother-in-law was able to recover as well,
right,
to be ready to accept and receive him when he gets back at home. And she didn't become a readmission and put him at risk by trying to take care of him. And another one is, you know, in the Northeast here, a 51-year-old male with stroke from Princeton, New Jersey, is very different than a 51-year-old male with stroke from Camden, New Jersey. Just the access to care, the access to resources, the community support systems that are really needed to make sure that patients can get better on their own at home is different. And so being able to assess those risks and those needs for each individual patient and the combination of all of that is what really drives the optimal place for a patient to be discharged to.
So this is really fascinating. So how do you gather this kind of information about a social network and about that social environment in a standardized enough way that you can make computer-assisted decisions about that?
It's really hard, and I think that's why it took 10 years of Dr. Bowles' research to really understand and whittle it down to a set of criteria that can be routinely assessed at admission, and then us being able to, using data analytics, to populate the rest of the risk factors on the back end without necessarily burdening the nursing staff with trying to assess 100 different questions for every admission. We've done that hard work, and so A lot of the talk around here around innovation, try to build it yourself or try to use established evidence-based tools. That's kind of what our expertise is all about, and that's what we're able to bring and leverage that work that was really hard to do for so long.
So do you see this having applications in other areas?
Absolutely. So in terms of the trigger point for when you're assessing that risk, it doesn't have to be at admission. It can be across anywhere in the continuum of care. We just happen to focus as an emerging company on the acute to post-acute care transitions and have some great outcomes data and great experience on proving the effect of that point of the continuum. So, you know, we're working on moving it forward. So prior to avoiding just readmissions, how about admissions and the utilization across the population, especially for those that are going to more at-risk, accountable care type of contracts or systems.
Would it be fair to suggest that this kind of a thing is actually helping to create more of a relationship with the patient and the community in general?
Definitely, and I think getting the patients championing and understanding their transitions process is a key. You know, refusals of post-acute care is just too high. And what patients need is to understand the data. They need to be educated about what the experience is going to be like. So trying to discharge a patient to post-acute care at a discharge is just too late. They need more time to be educated, and especially their family members, on kind of what the transition process looks like. And so what we're able to do and what we're working on is starting that at admission with the families and the caregivers of this is the plan. So now you've got the whole hospitalization length of stay to really educate and coordinate and communicate appropriately on where that setting that they're going to be sent to.
You're involved in doing something that's making a difference. You've attended this summit now yesterday and today. You mentioned earlier aha moments. Have you had any so far?
Just the energy around the willingness to change and being on the front lines trying to bring change with a disruptive yet very innovative product that is not only impacting the cost in terms of avoiding readmissions, but improving access to the right level of post-acute care and quality for which we're all focused on. And I think the aha is that we're ready for change and that major systems that are here in attendance are here to drive that change within their organizations. So I'm as encouraged as ever in terms of the ability to make a big impact that benefits patients directly.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for spending 5 minutes with us this afternoon to talk about this. And again, it's been a pleasure having you. So thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Rod, for your time.
You've been listening to Innovation That Sticks. For more great podcasts, visit hims.org/podcasts. Today's music is brought to you through a Creative Commons license. Song title, Effortless, by Josh Woodward.